When you're in the faith, when your faith is strong and that flame is roaring on the altar of your heart, you are experiencing peace with God. You have confidence with God. You will overcome trials and temptations. You will be able to prevail, and you will experience what Paul said, that you're not just a conqueror in Christ, but you are more than a conqueror. And this, beloved, is our inheritance, to conquer in Christ. Everything that comes our way, everything that is going to come our way in this nation, we can conquer if we have the faith of the gospel. And this is why I am so passionate about having this conversation, about preaching this word to you, because when you are in the faith, nothing can shake you. What's up, everyone? Thanks for listening to the Braveheart Podcast. Hey, this is super special, but we're celebrating 100,000 downloads since we started. And so we're going to throw a party. And we're going to do some giveaways. We're giving away 5 t-shirts and 5 subscriptions to the Freedom with God course completely free. All you got to do is share a testimony on Instagram or email it to us. Tag Peter K. Lewis, Braveheart Ministries. In a week's time, we'll announce the winners. You got 5 chances to be a winner. We want to hear how the Braveheart Podcast has impacted your walk with God. If you know me, you know my heart is that your faith is established in the truth and in Jesus. And it's my prayer that as you listen, you're encouraged, you're strengthened, and that flame on your heart becomes a roaring fire for all to see. And so I'm so excited, so humbled, so grateful for you guys. And it's amazing. And we're just getting started. And so we're going to continue this week the most important conversation that nobody's having. We're going to talk about the faith. Last week, we talked about 3 things that hinder faith. We talked about how your faith is precious, that it's more precious than gold. It's more valuable than what's in your bank account. And so we're going to continue that. We're going to cover, I had a list of 5 things. We're going to cover the last 2 things that can hinder your faith. But before we do that, one of the things that I realize is important as we start thinking about what can hinder faith is that we really understand that faith is a living thing. Faith can respond to circumstances. Faith responds to truth. Faith responds to Jesus. It's a living thing. It's not a static thing. And this is something that I really want to continue to talk about. I want to continue to examine it in the Word with you. I think for too long we have made the Christian faith about a prayer that we pray so that we go to heaven, and there's a sense of security in that, and I thank God for that. I'm not trying to get anyone to question their salvation. But I feel as though we've gotten a little lazy as it pertains to stewarding what God has given us. And what I mean by that is that our salvation that comes the moment we surrender to Jesus, the moment we get born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's amazing. But that is that moment initiates the walk of faith. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about our effort or what's required to continue in the faith or to be established in the faith. And so we read last week about 1 Peter and how your faith is more precious than gold, though it's being tested. I wanna read 4 scriptures. Again, I referenced them the first week, but I'm getting a little more just context to unpack this for you. I'm going to read 4 scriptures that show us and speak to the fact that we have a role to play. There is effort required in stewarding and maintaining the faith that Jesus has authored and that Jesus is perfecting. And so the purpose of this is to wake us up to this thing called the faith that is so important. And so I'm going to read 4 verses. We'll start in 1 Timothy 6:12. This is Paul talking, and he says to Timothy, he says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So Paul is reminding Timothy of the moment that he surrendered to Jesus. And he's saying, now because you made the good confession, because you declared Jesus Christ as Lord, you are now in a fight. And this is what I want to tell you to the listeners. You're in a fight. And the fight that we are in is not an earthly fight. It is not a political fight. It's not Democrat, Republican, Independent. It's not a racial fight. It's not an economy fight. It's not a fight for your rights. It's a fight of faith. And this is why I think it's the most important conversation that nobody's having, is because we are in a fight, and I don't hear or see anyone talking about the training required to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we're going to do for the next 6 months, guys, at least. We're going to dive headlong into this conversation and into the faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a fight, but how many of you can imagine that if you're just kind of asleep, middle of the night? I've got young kids, and so sometimes it can feel like I get woken up into a fight, and it's a terrible feeling. When you wake up and there's chaos all around you, a kid screaming, someone wet the bed, someone having a bad dream, it's like you wake up, you're sound asleep, and you wake up and you're in a fight. Why? Because one of your kids is going crazy. And that's just a silly example, because that's real life. And in my household, you wake up and sometimes kids are going crazy. And but I feel spiritually this is where the body of Christ is at. It's proverbially, it's like we're asleep and all of a sudden we're being woken up to a fight. And many of us don't know how to fight the good fight of the faith. And it's why we're going to talk about some of the primary things that are swinging at you. If someone's throwing a punch at you, you don't want to just stand in its way. You want to move out of the way. You want to know what's coming. You want to be prepared for it. And as you begin to understand how to fight the good fight of faith and the good fight of the faith, you'll find that the flame of God, your experience with God, your ability to perceive His presence, your ability to hear His voice, your capacity to walk in prolonged peace, the strength to have a sound mind, to not battle with anxiety all the time. A lot of the times, the presence of anxiety, panic attacks, panic disorders, exists because of a faith that is not roaring. It's being undermined by these things. And so that's number one, that we are in a fight. And so what I want to do is I'm going to equip you to fight. And I want to tell you something. This is a fight we can win. This is a fight you can win every day for the rest of your life. It is possible to win the fight of faith. Okay? Second verse I want to read to you, because this is overwhelming and there's a lot. Jude 1:3. Listen to this. This is amazing. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. Notice how Jude says, you know, he's not talking about salvation as an individual thing. He's talking about it as a community thing. And this is a big shift that we need in the body of Christ. I don't know you who are listening to this podcast, but if you are born again in the family of God, it's we. It's not you and me, it's we. And we share a common salvation. And my intensity and my passion in speaking to you and publishing podcasts and allowing you to hear the Word of God is that through this podcast, we feel connected in a common salvation, and we have the same mind, the same spirit, and we can actually move forward together wherever you're listening in the world. And so Jude is writing to these believers, and he says, I was eager to write to you about our common salvation. And he says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is amazing. He's writing to them. The purpose of his letter is to appeal, to cry out, to plead with them, to contend. Now, when you see the word contend comes with it a sense of urgency, a sense of fighting, a sense of resisting, a sense of taking ground, a sense of effort. And what are they contending for? What's he want them to contend for? The faith. The faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is a big deal, guys. The faith is not something that's just going to happen in your life. If you are not contending for it, if you are not in the fight and you don't know how to fight spiritually, you can lose this fight. You can make shipwreck of your faith. You can wander from the faith, and that's a big deal. So before you panic, before you get all nervous, we are going to, in the coming weeks, we are going to talk about the environment in which a strong faith grows. But for now, I want us to be aware and to start asking the right questions and to see biblically that we have a responsibility to play, that we cannot be passive. That's really the main thing I'm feeling, is that we cannot be passive. If you are passive with the faith over a long period of time, you will experience it. You will experience symptoms of that. And we're going to talk about that in coming weeks as well. So again, there's a lot to be said in this topic. The next scripture I want to read, there's two more scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:7. Okay, this goes hand in hand with the first scripture I read, and this is Paul's proclamation of victory that he was able to do it. He says this: I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And so I think in Paul's mind, to keep the faith was to fight a fight and to run a race. And so not only are you in a fight, but you're in a race. And Paul says this, the Word of God says this, he says, everyone runs to win. And he says, no one runs to lose. And so if you're going to run a race, run to win. And I want to provoke you to run this race to win. And I want to equip you to fight this good fight of faith, okay? And to run the race of faith so that when you get to the end of your life, it's not so much about just hoping that Jesus comes and saves you from all the big bad world, that you have a victory in your heart, a proclamation, like it says in 1 John 5, what is the victory that's overcome the world? Even our faith. Okay, this is the victory that we have when we get to the end of our lives. And the last scripture I'm going to read just to set the stage today, and again, this is so core, I'm going to repeat these scriptures time and time again. Philippians 1:27. This is so important. Watch this. Paul says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is amazing. This is so amazing. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. There it is again. Jude says contend, and Paul says striving side by side. That there is a collective understanding and spiritual agreement that allows us to strive. And again, we're going to get into all of this because you guys know me. I'm not into striving in the flesh, but there is effort required in this thing, and it's a spiritual effort that's supplied by the grace of God. But it's important to see that Paul wanted them to be striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. This is the similar intent as Jude he was appealing them to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So again, that's the introduction for today. Your faith is precious. It's more important than what's in your bank account. And there is a fight that we must fight. And last week in our podcast, we talked about three things. Again, it's worth repeating. Forgetfulness is something that will hinder your faith. When you forget who God is and what He's done, it's gonna mess with your faith. Don't go a day. Do not go a day without remembering the Lord and His love for you. Number two, the enemy is seeking to oppose your faith, to throw flaming darts, and without the shield of faith, those flaming darts will hit your heart and cause you to be discouraged, will cause you to be beat down, will cause you to be hopeless, fearful, anxious, all the things. But the shield of faith is something that prevents the enemy from taking ground in your spiritual life. Number three, again, this is just a short recap of last week. If you've not listened to last week's podcast, I encourage you to do that. Actually start with the one that says the most important conversation that no one's having, and go on from there. But number three is the last days, deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That's from 1 Timothy 4:1. We know that in the last days, some will depart from the faith, and they will do so by devoting themselves to doctrines and spirits and teachings that are of the devil. And this is not talking necessarily just about the dark arts. I don't want you to think Ouija boards. There are deceitful spirits and teachings of demons that come through major news networks, that come through your Instagram account. And so just be mindful. And the Holy Spirit within you will reveal those to you. And so number four and number five on this list, there's a big list, but we're going to hop into this today. The last two things I want to mention in terms of what can hinder our faith is number four would be the love of money. So look at this. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. And I'm just hitting you guys with the Word of God. This is not stuff I'm making up. This is not stuff that I'm just hoping to be true. This is God's precious Word, the sacred Scriptures. And so we're just going deep. We're going fast. We're going hard. 1 Timothy 6:6-10 says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Wow. "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." Oh man, wouldn't that be amazing if that was true of us? With food and clothing, we would be content. I'm telling you right now, some people are going to get delivered just listening to this. Verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich," those who desire to be rich, "fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils." Watch this. This is the phrase right here. "It is through this craving," what craving? Money, "that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." To be honest, if you were to ask me to sort of make a priority list of what I think is the most prominent or prevalent enemy of the faith right now in the Western church, I would say it's this one. I would say it's the love of money. I would put it hand in hand, side by side, with forgetting, with forgetting the Lord. And that just looks like being apathetic. The love of money is one of those things, specifically in the church, that can come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. It can be wrapped in spiritual language. The love of money is an issue of the heart. Now, I want to make a distinction here. Verse 10 does not say that money is a root of all kinds of evils. It says the love of money. This scripture is talking about a heart issue. You can have people that seemingly have on the outside the purest of motives, but they can be ensnared by the love of money, the desire to be rich, the desire to be rich. That desire, you can put a nobility around that desire. You can say, "Well, I want to be rich so that, you know, I can do more for the kingdom." And that may be well, and only you and God know if that desire is pure and lined up with His desire. And so I just want to read the Word of God again, because it's really plain. It says, but those who desire to be rich. And I think that word desire, it mentions desires, desires, love. It is an inordinate amount of affection for richness. It is not necessarily saying, hey, like I get there is a godly desire to be a blessing. There's a godly desire to do good in the world. And obviously, with the more resources we have, we can do good. But I'm talking about a desire. You know when the desire in your heart has gone from a godly desire to a human desire because it begins to plunge you into ruin and destruction. That could be relational ruin, perhaps your marriage, perhaps marriages are suffering for the love of money, perhaps your relationship with your kids is suffering or has suffered. This craving has caused some to wander away from the faith. Now, I think that phrase is so interesting. Through this craving, verse 10, some have wandered. Doesn't mean they deliberately ran away from the faith. It doesn't mean they're evil. It means that there is a slow wandering in their heart away from the things of God through the love of money. Now, if you don't realize that this love of money, its specific assignment from the devil is to get you away from the faith. That's what it is. The love of money, it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the desire of the eyes, what we see, the love of the world and the things in it. This love, this affection for the world, for worldly riches, will cause us to wander away from the faith. But look at verse 8. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. I'm going to pray for you at the end of this podcast specifically because I felt the Spirit breathe upon that when I read it. That as I read that scripture, many of you listening said, I want that to be true in my life. That you can actually be content. I want to tell you that if you're listening to this, I feel this prophetically. There's some people listening right now, and so much of the anxiety in your life, so much of the pain in your life is tied back to this pursuit of money in an unhealthy way. And you've compared yourself. You've compared yourself with other ministers. You've compared yourself with other church leaders. You've compared your building with other people. You've compared your job, your bank account, your car, your clothing, the way you look. And you've compared. And in through that comparison, it has sparked a love and a desire for riches and money and resources. And you've lost your contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And I feel like what's going to happen today is God's just going to roll away that reproach off of your life. Because if that's you, can I just tell you, to be honest, if you find yourself in this place with the love of money and you've been pursuing it and you know, and the Spirit is speaking to you right now, I want to tell you there's hope for you. And the distance between where you are now in experiencing godliness with contentment is called repentance. It's called turning away from it. It's called saying no to appointments, saying no to commitments that you've made that have been in the pursuit. You know, if you're working at the expense of your relationship with God, at the expense of your family, it could be a sign that this thing has laid hold of your heart. And so I'm going to pray at the end specifically for you. And again, just so you can be encouraged, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about the opposite environment. If the love of money hinders faith, what's the atmosphere that promotes faith? And so again, that's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. The love of money, I think this thing is rampant, and I think we have to be, you say, well, Peter, where does the effort come? The effort comes with saying no. With maybe repentance, with maybe turning away from some stuff that you're used to having and asking yourself and your spouse, what would it look like for us to be content with food and clothing? Because I'm guessing that 99.9% of the people listening to this, you have food and clothing, which means contentment is possible with a change in perspective. And so I'm going to leave that there. There's a lot I could say that could be a podcast of its own. And I realize we've covered a lot, and we're going to keep covering a lot because there's a lot of equipping to do. And so I'm wanting to give you guys sort of a bite-sized chunk. But I want to go to this last scripture. Again, it's in 1 Timothy. If you guys have been taking notes, 1 Timothy is packed with scriptures on the faith. And so I highly recommend you reading that book. You can read it over and over and over again. This will help you, again, give you context. But this last one, again, I said love of money and forgetting. I would put this last one up there with it as well as one of the number one public enemies of the faith. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 21. Watch this. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or proud, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches or the uncertainty of economies. Okay, can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? It's my podcast. I guess I can. Do not set your hopes on the economy. Okay? Doesn't mean you can't desire a strong economy. Just don't set your hope on it. Amen? Do not set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Wow. Who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Man, some of you need to read that and tattoo that on your heart. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good. So this is what he says to tell the rich. And so I'm guessing that if you're listening to this, you're rich, okay? I'm just going to make that assumption. So here's my exhortation to you. You're rich in this present age. I want you to do good, verse 18. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Verse 20, here's public enemy number 5. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Okay? And I'm going to, spoiler alert, I think that's the faith. By the Holy Spirit, it's the substance of Christ deposited into Timothy. He says, I want you to guard it. Now watch this. Avoid the irreverent babble. Hashtag Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called, quote, knowledge. Watch this, verse 21. For by professing it, what? Babble, contradictions, knowledge. Some have swerved from the faith. Now, this is different than wandering. Swerving and wandering are two different things. Wandering is a slow sort of, like, you can just see. I have my 5-year-old wanders. If you take him outside, his head is in the sky, and he just kind of goes off. We could be walking in a direction, point A to point B, and my little buddy, he just will sometimes wander. Wandering is different than swerving. Okay, swerving speaks of a hard departure, and that's probably like my 3-year-old. He swerves. He'll be going, and he just takes a hard left, a hard right. But I want you to see this. He tells him that one of the ways he's going to guard the deposit entrusted to him is to avoid babble, contradictions, and that babble and contradictions is being called knowledge. Guys, I want to tell you today, man, I think knowledge, love of money, and forgetting, man, these are all so prevalent in our hour that this is why I'm so passionate about this. There is quote unquote knowledge out there that everyone is seeking and thinks they have this knowledge. But the fruit of their knowledge that they have, it produces contradictions and irreverent babble. And so here's the litmus test for you. If someone is spouting off knowledge about COVID, about some political party, about some group in our nation, it doesn't matter. If someone has some special knowledge, but it's producing contradictions and causing people to be irreverent to one another, it is false. And by engaging in it, by professing it, by taking that knowledge as your own and going, oh, wow, this is knowledge. I can't tell you guys how many times someone has come to me the last 6 months and told me, like, hey, did you hear about, and then they start out, did you hear about, and they read an article, they saw a post, and what they do is they share some nugget of knowledge that is intended to elicit fear, disgust, outrage, whatever the case may be. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can sign on to Twitter and you can get a picture of what I'm talking about, or sign on to Instagram. And the irreverent babble and contradictions, people are calling it knowledge. And by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. So by engaging with it, by filling your mind with it, by getting into that deep plunge, what's happening is it's causing your heart to swerve away from what was entrusted to you, which is the faith of the gospel, this holy, precious flame. And guys, I feel urgent and passionate in my heart. I want to tell you and speak to you with the authority of Jesus. I want to encourage you to avoid it. If this is you, avoid it. Cut it off. If you have to turn off the TV, if you have to turn off the news, if you have to turn off your phone, but don't. I want you to know what's happening. The swerving from the faith, wandering from the faith, it produces pain. It produces anxiety. When you are away from the faith, you can still be a Christian and begin to wander from the faith. And when you do so, you begin to experience what it's like before you were a Christian. You experience all the pain and the agony in your soul of as if you were not in a new covenant with Jesus Christ. And so there's frustration that's happening in the body of Christ because they're going, man, I don't feel different. I feel anxious. I feel worried. I feel fear. I feel lust. And what's happening is there's this confusion because there's this pain, and there's these emotions and these feelings that indicate that we are wandering from the faith and that we are not fighting the good fight of faith. Because I want to tell you this. When you're in the faith, when your faith is strong and that flame is roaring on the altar of your heart, you are experiencing peace with God. You have confidence with God. You will overcome trials and temptations. You will be able to prevail, and you will experience what Paul said, that you're not just a conqueror in Christ, but you are more than a conqueror. And this, beloved, is our inheritance, to conquer in Christ. Everything that comes our way, everything that is going to come our way in this nation, we can conquer if we have the faith of the gospel. And this is why I am so passionate about having this conversation, about preaching this word to you, because when you are in the faith, nothing can shake you. Not because you're bold and arrogant in your own strength, but because your hope and your faith is in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy and will give us strength and power to endure the hour of temptation, the hour of suffering. His grace will cause us to endure. And so I want to pray for you. There's two topics that we covered today, specifically the love of money and quote-unquote knowledge. And I just want to pray a cleansing. I want to pray a cleansing right now over your heart. And that if you've been experiencing either of these two things, if either of these things, two things resonated with your heart, I want to pray right now. I want to invite you to repent. You say, Peter, what does that look like? It looks like acknowledging them before the Father and confessing it to your spouse, confessing it to your father, to your mother, to your friends. Just say, hey, could I share with you? I want to share with God, but I want to share with you. I've been caught up in the love of money, and I'm just repenting. And I'm turning from knowledge. I've been pursuing the knowledge of this world. I've been pursuing the latest conspiracy of this day. And I feel like my heart has wandered from the faith and even swerving a little bit from the faith. And so I just want to pray right now like a course correction, like an autopilot. I just see as you repent, all of a sudden, it's like that Carrie Underwood song, Jesus is going to take the wheel. And he's going to put you back on that path and on that race and in that fight, and you're going to be confident again. And so, Spirit of God, I pray right now, would you come and would you wash my friends? Would you fill them with the Holy Spirit right now? Would you hear their prayers? Would you hear their cries from earth, wherever they are, from their car, from their living room, from their kitchen, from their bedroom? God, would you hear their prayers? Even after we get off this time together, God, I pray that you would take them into a time of your presence, that your presence would just become so much more real to them than anything else. God, specifically those who have been caught up in the love of money, I pray for a spirit of contentment to fall. God, I pray that that discontentment and that comparison would be broken off of them now. I command you, lying spirits, those tempting spirits, I silence you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, just the contentment of being with you, the contentment with simplicity of possessions, of things, food and clothing, Lord, that's enough. We're content because we have godliness. We have covenant with you, and we have food and we have clothing, and that's enough. Lord, and those who have been sucked into the irreverent babble and contradictions of our day that people are calling knowledge, God, I pray that you would give them grace to avoid it. God, even those who are passionate about engaging in civic duty and politics, God, I pray they would do so in a way that is holy, that has integrity, God, that does not tear other people down, but exalts you, Jesus, exalts you in your and your kingdom, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in these hearts. And Lord, I ask for your grace. I ask for your mercy. I ask for your wisdom. I cry out for your insight. God, I pray, Lord, that as we have this conversation with you over the next 6 months or more, that you would instruct us in the ways of the faith, that you would establish us in the faith, Lord, and that the result would be a strong, roaring flame that heals marriages, that heals relationships with children, that strengthens the local church, God, that quickens pastors once again, Lord, that reminds pastors, Lord, why they're doing what they're doing in the first place. I feel right now there's pastors, and God's giving you vision. As you listen to these podcasts, he's giving you vision once again for why you got into this in the first place, and that calling when you first were called, that this was at the core of your heart. And I pray that first love, the secret place for the pastors, is going to be revived in Jesus' name. I love you guys so much. I'm so grateful for you. The last thing I want to share with you, just an announcement. We have our Cultivate event coming up November 6th and 7th here in Dallas, Texas. I want to invite you. We're going to have this conversation in person. But we're going to specifically raise up leaders. There's going to be 100 spots available. Registration opens up September 14th. You can go to braveheartu.com/cultivate. You can see all the information there. braveheartu.com/cultivate. I want to invite you to Dallas. We're going to have a day and a half to fellowship together. But we're going to raise up an army. Leaders, a relationship network that's going to run with the gospel in their city, in their neighborhood, in their communities. Guys, these are the most exciting times to live in. If you can make it, if you can get here, come. braveheartu.com/cultivate. Love you guys so much. Talk to you next week.
Most people feel stuck in their relationship with God because they're believing lies about what he's like. Your tax-deductible gift to Braveheart Ministries enables us to create simple resources that help people see and understand how good God really is. This results in people finding lasting freedom and deepening their connection to God. To make a donation, please go to braveheartministries.org/give or text GIVE to 469-423-9966. That is 469-423-9966. 423-9966. Give.